99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 8 minutes inside the hour. This is the last day that we'll be discussing the topic on drug addiction. We started on Monday, and it's been quite an interesting conversation right up from Monday up until yesterday. But today we'll try and get expert opinion on the show this morning. So you're welcome to come along with us. If you got one or two questions for our guest, feel free to join us as well on the show today. We are happy to have you on that on this particular show. I am Sheriff Quadri. Feel free to watch us online, Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us. I have joining us this morning Dr. Samuel Aladejare. He's a senior resident at Federal Neuro Psychiatric Hospital, Yaba. Is this been on the show before, but on this particular conversation? Yes, he's joining us right now this morning. Dr. Samuel, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sheriff, and nice to be here once more.
It's good to have you. Let's start from the resident doctor strike that started today. I'm starting here because you are the former president of NAD at Federal Neuro Psychiatric Hospital. You are also currently the NAD Legal and Legislative Committee Chairman. So you're very fit to talk about this very quickly. The strike starts today, Dr. Samuel.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sherry, for that. Yeah, I'm currently the chairman of the NAD Legal and Legislative Committee, and like you rightly said, I was the president, two-time president at the Association of Resident Doctors, Federal Neuro Psychiatric Hospital, Yaba. The strike, yes, unfortunately, the strike starts today. It's a warning strike, a five-day warning strike. I started by saying unfortunately because we are not known to be strike mongers. If you look at recent history, you realize that the last time the National Association of Resident Doctors, 2 years ago, in 2021, that was in August, I want to give good quality service to our patients. So we don't like when we are off work. We don't like when we don't have the opportunity to do that. Unfortunately, I will be driven to this situation because those who should have done the needful haven't done that. You are aware that we gave a two-week ultimatum. That expired on Monday. And in a two-week ultimatum, a number of issues were stated. Those issues are actually not new to the government. A number of them, discussions have been on them for quite some time. Letters have gone forth, replies haven't come. And since last year, some of them as far back as last year, and no information has come from those issues, no further engagement has happened. And we issued an ultimatum for the government to resume discussion on those issues, and none of that happened. We're not called for a single meeting. What looked like a meeting that the NAD president went for was came for a meeting in Abuja that was scheduled at the instance of the honorable speaker of the Federal Republic, that honorable Femi Gbajabi Amila. But the meeting was called off at the last minute while he was already at the venue of the meeting. And so no meeting, no engagement took place within these 2 weeks. And the government has left us with no choice than to go this unfortunate route. Just to restate the issues, I've seen a lot of things in the media, and I need to put things straight.
Okay.
The issues for responsible for the strike are, one, there are allowances that our members have been owed since 2014, 2016. And these allowances, they keep telling us that nothing keeps coming. They don't give us any information about this matter. Every time we ask about them, they tell us they are in court. In fact, the last time we asked them, okay, give us the court number, give us the suit number. Let's see how far these cases have gone. And we don't get any information. Meanwhile, these are monies that people earned. These are monies that people are owed, and they are not being paid those monies. We also brought up the issue of brain drain, which has been a serious issue. And we know some of the issues that have led to this. We know they are not difficult to fathom. When you look at the earning power of the doctor here in Nigeria, comparing with some of the places where our colleagues are running to, you see that they are far, far apart. At the moment, the government is not putting up any arguments in support of people who even want to stay or people want to have something to think about. And we told the government that, look, what the situation at the moment is not palatable. The situation at the moment is not acceptable, and we need to do something about it. And that was why we brought up the proposal about the review of the common scale, which should have been reviewed every 5 years, that should have been in 2019. We are in 2023. That has not happened since then. And we brought up the proposal for the review of comments, which by law should have happened years ago, but did not happen. We also brought up allowances that we felt that if these things are implemented, we make a strong case for our colleagues to stay behind. But no, we wrote that letter since last year, and there was no reply. There has been no reply to that letter, no reply whatsoever to that letter. The only thing we got to see was that we saw another letter from our parent body backdated in November. We saw that letter just last month talking about a 25% increase, which is not the way collective bargaining is supposed to be. It's supposed to be an interaction between people. So that is also one of the issues. And then there are issues within the states as well. There are states, of course, Abia State notorious for that are owing salaries for more than 20 months. And the governor is not making any attempts to defray those salaries. There are other states like that have other issues. We are talking about review of the commerce. There are states that are still not paying this present commerce that we are saying is not okay.
Right.
They are paying the very outdated commerce.
Right.
So those are some of the issues that are in the front burner, and nobody is engaging us about. So they have left us with no choice than to go on this one strike.
I'm going to ask just one last question before we go into our main topic for today. And I'm so glad that you are the chairman of the legal committee of resident doctors, because the Honorable Minister of Employment, Labour and Employment said that your strike is illegal, that you should have coming for that you need to negotiate with your employers. What's your reaction to that?
Yes, so I agree with our elder, the Honorable Minister of Labour and Employment, Dr. Chris Ngige. I agree with him that we should have come in with negotiation. But Sharif, can you negotiate with yourself? Mm-mm. You've written and you've given an ultimatum. You've written letters, given an ultimatum of 2 weeks, and nobody is talking to you. Do we call ourselves into a corner and then start talking to ourselves? How are we supposed to make that negotiation? The meeting that was scheduled, I mentioned earlier that meeting was called off for no serious reason. And then the president made efforts to speak to the Minister of Health to even look at this issue, because among the issues that were presented, there are issues that are there for the Minister of Health to sort out. For instance, the issue of people being replaced immediately they leave. So you have a situation where there's serious gross shortage of manpower at the hospitals, tertiary hospitals. And then you still have doctors who are out there who can't find work. You can imagine who are looking for an opportunity to get in and they can't get in. And it's because of bureaucratic process that could take up to a year, sometimes even more than a year sometimes, to be able to get approvals to employ. We are saying, okay, replace. Once somebody leaves, give the center the opportunity to be able to replace them one for one.
Right.
That meeting has been done. I released a memo for that. That has not been done. So these are discussions that should have happened. Nobody has called us for any negotiation. So how were we supposed to have negotiated with anybody? So it's right. We should have negotiated, but we couldn't have negotiated with ourselves. They didn't call us for any negotiation. We made ourselves available.
Indeed. Dr. Samuel Adejare, we'll leave this conversation on your strike to another time, yeah? But for now, let's head on to our main conversation today. Drug addiction. You work at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. What can you tell us about this menace? The report on the street is that this has gone beyond control. What can you tell us, doctor?
Okay, thank you very much. Drug abuse, or whichever term, people use different terms. They talk about drug abuse. They talk about addiction, drug addiction. They are mostly referring to more or less the same thing. Technically, they might be different, but more or less the same thing. And the primary issue here is people who are people who find it difficult to control their use of substances, use of illicit substances, drugs of abuse. People who they've lost control over they want to take one, they end up taking five. They have this urge, recurrent urge, to continue taking it. And it has led them, caused a lot of problems for them. So that is the basic issue behind it, wherever it is. So yes, I agree, it's a serious issue. Right here at the hospital, at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, where I work, over time we've seen the number of cases, we've seen them increase significantly. We are at a situation where the other patients, you know, psychiatry is a wide field, it's a wide spectrum, and we have a whole number of different types of diagnoses that should have been using our facilities. But we have a situation where patients that have substance problems are taking over the bed spaces for, have taken over the space for every other person. So as much as 80% of the number of the cases these have one or two things related to drugs. So it's a very serious issue, and it's an issue that we are also very bothered and we're also very worried about.
I'm going to jump into care and solution now, Dr. Samuel Adejari. First is that what are the families, relatives, friends, what would you advise they do? Because some of the complaints that we got in the past 2 days were from people who said that they have their loved ones who are victims of, you know, addiction, drug addiction and substance abuse, but then they are at a crossroad. They don't know what to do. Some of them, they've gotten help, then they relapse. So they're just confused as to how to move forward. What would you say to them?
Okay, so I will take it. I will be more realistic with it. I think the first thing, the first treatment you can give to anybody in terms of drug abuse is prevention, to make sure it doesn't even start in the first place. That's the best place to start with, because by the time we cross that junction where people have started already and they are beginning to have issues, then it becomes more difficult to deal with. So the first thing is to stop it from happening in the first place. And that is where parenting comes in. That's in terms of relatives and friends, that's where good parenting comes in. People need to stop outsourcing parenting. We need to be more intentional with the way we parent young people. A lot of people are being raised daily now by the media. Children are being raised by the media that just left to themselves, social media, TV. So they see what they see on TV is what is controlling what they do. And many people just grow up to think that these things are harmless and they end up using them. And also, that's the government comes in this place, because there are a lot of wrong information that has been passed. Many people I meet, many of our patients, for instance, don't even believe that substance is a problem. They don't think that some of these things they take, especially cannabis, they don't think that it's a problem. They don't think that it can cause any problem for them. So because of the wrong messages that are out there on social media.
That's Igbo.
Yes, Igbo. So one message that you have popular people, celebrities coming out to say this thing is harmless, and these are the people they believe. These are the people that they listen to. So some more control needs to happen in terms of the messaging that goes out, and in terms of music videos, in terms of films, a lot of work needs to happen. There are songs that are out there, and all they do is just to encourage people to take these things. There are patients that have walked up to me to say, whenever I hear this song, it brings a craving back to me. And I feel like just these are responsibilities for government. Government needs to step in. The right bodies need to step in and ensure that the right messages are getting on our screens, are getting even on social media. Now, for the relatives, once the issue has started, what do they need to do? The first thing you need to do is you need to show them a lot of support. I see a lot of people trying to thinking that toughening up at that stage is going to be the solution, it's going to help them. Well, I think at that point, once it has started, toughening up may not be the solution any longer. It may not work at that point. Trying to mete out punishment, that may not work at that point. So What you need at that point is you need to give them a lot of support. You need to be open to them. You need to be supportive to them in a manner in which they can be open to you.
Mm.
They can tell you, they feel as if they have an ally in you who can hear them out. Mm. They can understand their struggles, because it's actually a struggle at that point.
Mm.
At the point they are addicted, they are not very much in control of what they are doing. So even when they want to stop, they have some other forces, which is the substance, the addiction, controlling them. It's now taking over aspects of their brain and it's controlling them, telling them what to do.
Mm.
So they find that they are having difficulty doing that. So they need people around them to assist them. So some of the things we've done for people, for instance, is to say, if, for instance, you have a family member who is willing to be supportive, a brother, a sister, a father, or a mother, we say, okay, you are willing to be open, very open to this person on how you feel from time to time. So when you feel like taking this substance, discuss with this person.
Doug, please give me a minute. Let's head out. Let's take this break, yeah? We'll continue with this line of thought.
Africa's number one station for talk.
Senate President Ahmed Lawan assured Nigerians that no citizen will be shortchanged in the distribution and application of the COVID-19.
Hot conversation.
Is it possible that COVID can affect somebody psychologically?
Oh, absolutely. With the COVID pandemic, we have also been experiencing a mental health pandemic, coping.
For the strongest opinion.
What that has been reintroduced is...
Dr. Samuel Adejari is still here. He is a senior resident at Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. And we're talking drugs addiction, substance addiction. Doc, thank you again for joining us on the show this morning. You were telling us as to what relatives and friends and family can do to victims of drug addiction and substance abuse. Please go on with your thoughts, Doc.
All right, thank you once again for having me. Yeah, so I've spoken about prevention earlier, about the things that needed to happen before people get to the stage of addiction. And then now I was talking about what to do when people are addicted. So I mentioned that the first thing that needs to happen is what relatives can do is to be open, get them to be open. So at that stage, you need them to disclose, tell you everything, tell you the motivations for what they are doing. So that's very important, because there are different reasons why people use substances. Some people use it because everybody is using it, because it appears everyone is using it, or everyone in their clique appears to be using it. So for such people, a lot of education might need to happen. So the relatives can go over data together, go online, get information, present the information, look at the information together, so that they know they have facts. They can begin to act based on facts, not based on what their peers, what their colleagues are saying.
Right.
And with the advantage of maybe advanced years, you can give examples of people, prominent people, who have had substance issues and where they ended up, how it affected their career. So that would be instructive to such kind of people. And then for some other people, they are using it because they are trying to compensate for some other kind of deficits. So there are people, for instance, who have social anxiety disorder, anxiety issues. So they find it difficult facing a crowd. Meanwhile, they have a job that requires them interacting with strangers, interacting with crowd from time to time, and they try to use it as a form of enhancement. So for such people, they need treatment for that primary issue that they have. For some other people, they are taking it because they are going through a rough patch in life, some difficult times in life, and their mood has taken a hit for it. So for such people as well, they also need treatment for the primary issue. So it's important to know the motivation behind why the person is taking it, because that will inform what needs to happen.
Right.
At that stage, that will inform what needs to happen at that stage.
Hmm.
The next thing that needs to happen is the money. So it's important to follow the money here as well, because the money tells a lot of story.
Hmm.
Even from the point of whether the person has started to when the person has started, the money says a lot. So the amount of money that goes into it, how the person manages their money, says a lot. So the relatives may decide to step in and assist them in that area, assist them with money management, if they can have honest relatives who can assist them with that. So some of the money they use in buying these things, they would be able to channel them into more productive ventures. And then when somebody else is in charge of the money, it's difficult to keep buying this thing at the rate at which they buy it before. So that is something else relatives can do for them to assist. And they also look at the peers around them. Find out the network. Where did they get these things from? Who are the people they use this thing together with? Sometimes it might even involve having to change where they live, so that change where they live, maybe have them go to a relative somewhere else where they may, to break that network that they built around them in that area that makes it easy for them to be able to obtain the substance. And ultimately, of course, taking them for treatment is the final thing that needs to happen. They need to be taken for treatment. And those people who have, who despite all these things are finding it difficult, they can't control the act, then they need to be taken to the hospital where they need to be admitted. They will have to be admitted because they are unable to do it on their own. So they need a controlled environment, first of all, to be able to remove those other externalities that are contributing to the substance use behavior, separate them from people, separate them from the substance itself, give them time for self-introspection about how far the substance has taken them, expose them to different forms of therapy that will assist them. If medication is necessary in some cases, that might need to come in. So those are some of the things that can be done.
Indeed. Doc, at this juncture, let's open up the telephone lines to hear from people, their loved ones, and even maybe, you know, some victims as well, if they are open to calling us to ask you questions. Feel free, and you can be anonymous if you want to be anonymous. We allow it here. Okay, just feel free to unbutton yourself and share your story as well with Doc. So remember that we don't diagnose and we don't treat. We're just here for education purposes only. All right. Okay. 0700-993-993-993. That's our smart number. We've got a number for female folks as well. The number is 01465-71904. The ladies, that is 01465-71904. I'm going to begin, before I go to the blinking telephone lines, Doc, let me start from a caller who called in yesterday and needed help for his wife. His wife has taken to injecting some prescriptive drugs. He mentioned the names. I don't know the names. But he said he's tried to get help for her, but then she's still on it. What would you advise him to do? Perhaps he's listening.
Okay, so I would have loved to know how he tried to get help for her, what measures he took, whether that involved taking her to the hospital for treatment and a possible admission, because if she's at the level of injecting some prescription medication, then it may be difficult to regulate that on her own. And then there are other factors involved with injection. So it's recommended for such a person to be admitted.
Right.
So I wouldn't know whether that has been done. But even if that has been done in the past, one of the things that is necessary, that is important to know about addiction is it's a chronic relapsing condition. Chronic in that it's something that is long-term. And then relapsing is that, people may get well and then also slip back again. So we recognize that. So if that had been done before and she has gone back into it, it's necessary that they go back again.
Okay.
Our research has shown that when that happens a number of times, it improves the chances of the person of getting better.
Getting better. Okay. Let's begin. Abiola. Abiola, hi. Good morning to you. Abiola. Abiola, you're on the radio now.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, my name is Abiodun.
Abiodun, okay.
From Ibimu.
Okay.
Like, I've been following your conversations for the past couple of days, and I must tell you, I commend you.
Abiodun, we're struggling to hear you. Are you on hands-free?
Oh, yes. Okay, so
let me take it off the hands-free.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better now. A lot better now. Go on, Abiodun. Go on. We can hear you now.
All right, great. So, like I said, it's interesting, these conversations, and I think it's coming at the right time because the menace of drug addiction and the use of drugs in the younger generation is becoming very alarming, right? Especially because amongst the younger ones, there's that access, you know, that free access to it that somehow can't seem to be controlled. Mm. While I've not had any serious issues with, when I use the word serious, with addiction, I mean, I think the highest I ever did was smoke cigarette, which on its own was even difficult to overcome. Mm. You know, I mean, you look at cigarettes as harmless as it is, and you're thinking, well, I'm not doing anything horrible. But to find out that the addiction to nicotine is something that will
it's
your mind.
It's insane.
As harmless as it looks, you just can't get over it. I remember stopping for close to 6 months, and the first time that I said, oh, okay, I'm hanging out with friends, and it was in a bar where they allowed smoking. I'm like, okay, if I'm taking a second-hand smoke anyway, let me just take a stick just for old time's sake. And it took me another 4 years.
Whoa.
And I think I even got worse by the time I started smoking it, because then I was burning through a pack in 2 days, something I almost never did. Started severe for me was just like the doctor had said, sometimes enhancement. I was in medical school. I had to read all night. I didn't want to drink coffee before the taste. So I started cigarettes. And I'll be honest, it helped me. But I think that the government needs to be very much involved in this process.
Yeah.
Because if we do not find a way to stop the sources of these drugs, we'll keep talking about them. And unfortunately, they know where these places are.
Mm.
I heard on the other day, the man mentioning all the spots in Mushin, in Fadeyi, and go where they get
on Monday.
They know this. They know this thing. Why are we not doing something definite about it? You know? I mean, that's my contribution this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Abiodun, for calling. We have an anonymous caller. Anonymous, are you still here?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, Anonymous.
Sharif, good morning.
Morning, sir.
Doctor, I agree. Yeah, Sharif.
Yeah.
I am an NDN officer. I think anybody that is listening to me, drug addicted is something that we have been fighting, and it's an issue for anybody that knows. Let me quickly make my point. There is a department in NDN that called drug demand reduction. Anybody that is listening to me, you have anybody that is addicted, you can kindly locate NDL office. There are experts there. That is what they do.
Okay.
And it will be 1 year, 2 years, you have been addicted.
Yeah.
The orientation of the person will change. We have been managing that for months.
Hmm.
And it's successful.
What do you call the department again?
Drug demand reduction.
Drug demand reduction.
Yeah, in an NDL office. Any of the states.
And they work with drug addicts, right?
Exactly.
Is it free of charge?
It's free of charge.
Okay.
It's free of charge. Okay. I think kudos to Rubamaruma.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, and thank you for the great job that you do at the NDLEA as well. Let's take this call. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Okay. For anonymity's sake, I'm calling Mr. A.
Mr. A, welcome.
Okay. So actually, I refuse to call myself an addict because I've not listened to much of negative effects. But I started taking cannabis, Canadian Loud, in 2008 out of frustration. Then my business pressure was so much. I was taking it to ease pressure. And then I stopped. Because it was something I hated before then. Then, you know, I stayed in New York. I know it's legal in New York. So that didn't help me when I stopped. When I go back to New York, and then we can get it anywhere, even in front of your house, it's available. So I tried it in New York, but not as much as I do here in Nigeria, because my wife doesn't like me smoking, so I have to do it hiding. Hello?
We can hear you. We're with you, sir.
So that was our. Then when I came back to Nigeria, that was when this song came out. Food they make man enjoyable, Canadian Loud, the feeling is different. You know, songs like that never helped. They will have celebrities that whenever you see them, they're always high, they're always smoking, they're always lighting blunt, you know. And this kind of thing doesn't help. And that was how I went back into smoking when I came back to Nigeria. That was the last 2 years. And till now, I practically smoke everywhere. I listened to your program yesterday, and I'm listening to it today. Yeah. And it's kind of getting me worried. Like, oh, so people can end up in hospital because of smoke? I'm kind of, okay?
Okay.
I will try my best to stop it, but it's not easy. It's available everywhere. You can get it anywhere, anytime. The
access. Access is a big problem. Yeah, access is a big problem. Thank you so much for talking to us. Doc, let's begin to round up right now on the show, but let me get your reaction to some of the callers that some of the calls that we got about their experiences and their thoughts as well. The last caller, for instance, at what point does one begin to see it as an addiction? He felt that he's not an addict, that he won't think that he's an addict. What's your thought on that?
All right. Yeah, so we as experts, we shy away from using the word addicts because of the negative connotation that it would have. But we'll say I would probably say that someone has an addiction problem if the person has a problem, has a constant urge to use a substance. So you have this drive that you just have this thing pushing you that, okay, you need to use this, you need to use it. And then you are having a problem with control. So you can't control the amount you are able to use, whether in terms of even starting or the quantity you want to use or even when you want to stop. So once you're having problems with control, then there's an addiction problem. And then there are issues with, it affects your relationships, affects your relationship with people, affects your functioning at work, causes harm, one danger or the other. Then the person knows, despite the fact that it has caused one danger or harm, in the past, the person still persists in its use. So those are some of the ways of knowing whether one has a problem. So for him, he has said that he has tried to stop and he has been unable to stop. So that's an indication of an addiction problem already. That's an indication of an addiction problem. And it's important for him to get help. Studies have been, in fact, a study came out recently that showed that people who use cannabis have a very high, they have a high rate of developing schizophrenia, especially for younger people who start using cannabis, so that they could actually develop a primary schizophrenia illness. This has been an argument before, whether it causes or whether it doesn't. Even the picture on ground, what we can see, we can say anecdotally that yes, it does, because we are seeing it right in front of us. But research-wise, there are
for clarity, Dr. Samuel, what's schizophrenia? Can you break that down so that people can understand?
Okay, so schizophrenia is it's a mental health condition in which there is the name practically means splitting of the mind. So there is a problem with reality. There's a reality distortion. So the person has a separate reality from what every one of us has. So the person could hear voices that are not there, see things that are not there, have thoughts that are distorted, that are not exactly the way they are supposed to be. And because of those things, the person could behave in unusual ways, in ways that people would term abnormal, or even talk in ways that are abnormal. So that's primarily what schizophrenia is. So we've seen that there is a strong link between the use of substances, especially cannabis, and development of schizophrenia. So some people, it could happen almost immediately. For some people, it could take a long-term use for it to eventually happen. But we've discovered that there is a strong link between the two. So I would advise him to seek help as quickly as he can. And then the other issue is, so I will link this to the first comment that was made about, cigarettes. Drugs like cannabis, like cigarettes, we call them gateway drugs. They are gateway because they open the door to more serious problems later on in life. So we discover that most people that are on these things don't stay on them. They get into other things later on in life, things like methamphetamine, that's ice, cocaine, heroin, tramadol. They get into all those things much later. So they are gateway drugs. So if you don't want to get to those places, it's best to cut it off at right. the level of these drugs. And then finally, I think the first person mentioned that cigarettes, that I didn't feel that cigarettes is even an any issue because maybe because of its wide acceptance, so to say. But we know of the strong link between cigarette smoking, nicotine, and lung cancer, which is even deadlier than any other thing. That kills without with little or no solution in most parts of the world. So that is also a problem. And I agree that there is a whole lot that needs to happen in terms of access restriction to these substances because they are just ubiquitous, especially in a place like Lagos. You find them almost everywhere. It's so easy to get them. So a lot more needs to happen.
Dr. Zama,
of access and it, yeah.
Dr. Zama, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I really do appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you. Lagos, that's our show today. I'm Sherif Quadri.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not